Good morning, everyone. Am I audible? Okay. Sorry. And now? Okay. So my topic today is the association of primary West Nile virus vector, that's the Culex cunicofaciatus, with the weather factors and storm drain components in the city of Fort Worth. Okay, so as we all know, West Nile virus is a vector-borne disease and it's spread by the infected female mosquitoes. This is the map that you can see here is the areas in pink are the ones that are endemic, whereas the gray ones are the non-endemic regions of the world. The incubation period for the incubation period for West Nile virus is about 2 to 15 days, it was first noticed in the United States in 1999, and as of November 4th, CDC has reported around 41,377 confirmed cases of West Nile virus with 1,734 deaths. The symptoms are basically, majorly it's very mild with just fever and body aches and headaches, but a few of them, like 4% of them, usually get neuroinvasive and lead to deaths due to meningitis or encephalitis. Dallas-Fort Worth experienced its first epidemic of West Nile virus in 2012, with around 280 cases of human cases and about 11 deaths. The aim of this surveillance and risk assessment program that we had was to control, the human exposure to the West Nile virus vector by identifying the breeding habitats and understanding the habitat-associated environmental factors that were affecting the mosquito population dynamics. Let's look at the vector. So the vector here basically is the female Culex cunicofaciatus, which is also known as the southern house mosquito. And in urban areas, this is known to be the most important vector. Like in Texas, it's the most important vector for transmission of the West Nile virus. These mosquitoes, they usually lay their eggs in racks, as shown in the picture there, around nutrient-rich water collections, which are close to human habitats like cesspools or storm drain systems and any nutrient, like any of the organic water collections. Adult mosquitoes usually emerge after 5 to 8 days after the life cycle in optimum temperature and humidity. And these mosquitoes, they are usually active in warmer months, and they're more active during the night times. Our study basically involved, we had 50 different sites all over Fort Worth where the CDC traps were set up, and two-week-old hay infusion water was used as the bait. Weekly trappings were done, and we used to pick up the nets, and our team used to sort them out and send them to the county health department for assessment of the virus. This is what from the female. These were the female Culex mosquitoes that we assessed, and we noticed that after a correlation analysis that we did, we noticed that the weekly average temperature the temperature and the humidity and wind speed were some of the factors that were statistically significant, in the weather. Considering the climate. Let's just go ahead. We also noticed that the storm drain system components that were the inlets, we had the inlets, the manholes, the outlets, the ponds and the swimming pools that were considered at 400, 800 and 200 feet, and the only ones that were statistically significant were manholes at 400 feet and ponds at 800 feet distance from the trapping sites. This is just a one-year study that was done in 2013, and the study is continuing every year from April to October. And we still haven't found. We presume that the 7-day average temperature can be considered as the best possible vector, best possible predictor for the vector abundance. But we haven't been able to ascertain if the storm drain system can be considered or not. But studies have shown that in urban areas, storm drain systems have been known to be sites for collection of these mosquitoes. Well, that's it. That's my presentation. Sorry. I don't think there are any questions.
Are there any questions for any of the speakers?
I have a question that tires me more. Are there any programs to collect recycled tires, put a bounty on recycled tires, even a small one? Since you said in some places you can pick up 100 tires and a short time later there's another 100 there. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a garage or someone is dumping.
Right. We're partner agencies with an MS4 program, so we work with other agencies to eliminate trash in water bodies for other reasons. We're trying to push that idea forward. So far, there's not a commercial partner that's interested. So to explain, there is a state $2 fee associated with scrap tire, you know, when you get your tires changed. So these shops are collecting that fee and then not following up with that. There's licensing, there's laws that guide how much they're supposed to have on site. They should be able to produce tire manifests. One of the initial difficulties is the state isn't enforcing that program. So if we could get the state to enforce that program, then we wouldn't have this issue with illegal tire dumping, because the dumpees would have to prove their whole their whole process. But that's another option, and that's one we've been trying to push forward. It's a good idea. If you can make that worth something, then certainly people are going to pick them up. And we still see people. We don't have bottle deposits in Louisiana, but you just still see people with scrap metal and other things that they can return for money. So I imagine that would resolve the problem. If we could have that happen, but what we're seeing even with the state is there's some pushback. If we go out and collect these tires, the state wants the city to figure out who's doing the dumping. And what we're started seeing is the people from surrounding parishes are also dumping. So that crosses, lines, and that becomes more problematic. I was going to say, we've even seen this summer with West Nile that if we picked up tires, we held them at the city dump and waited for the approved tire collector to come and receive them, that we could track West Nile moving with those tires and had infected mosquitoes associated with that in our traps. So it's a big problem. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's so what we do, I would say what we do see is, as I was referring to earlier, we have nuisance mosquitoes and we have disease vectored mosquitoes. Unfortunately, the nuisance mosquitoes, there's much more community outcry associated with those. So after large rain events, we'll see calls to our office, that sort of thing. But there is sort of this disconnect with those mosquitoes that breed in and around your house, that transmit West Nile, that transmit these other diseases. And since we haven't seen these diseases in an awfully long time associated with these mosquitoes, we're trying to push that message out the best we can. But there is sort of this disconnect that that people tend to associate these floodwater mosquitoes as more of a problem. Right. And it is here as well. We are actually trying to revise city code at the moment. There's not the enforcement agency that is. We are not able to enforce that. That would be a different city agency. And so we're working with the city health department to create a mechanism where we could possibly find, especially the tire shops, especially egregious violations, and start with those and kind of work our way down. We're also proposing to do some surveys, concentrated neighborhoods going in, evaluating, finding all of the sites that breed so we can determine the most common sites, so we can incorporate that and look at people's knowledge on the subject. There's people run the Grammys. People are very used to West Nile now and have that message. And in this case, there's enough difference between them as well. So we're not talking about polluted, stinky, dirty water. We're talking about relatively clean water, bird baths and containers and things in and around the house. And it's surprising. We always say a bottle cap. But something that smells a bottle cap can produce a lot of mosquitoes. So, yes, it's going to be a big part of next year, but it is a kind of a change. People are used to mosquito prevention, but not in this way. So it's kind of adapting their behaviors to really focus on this vector specifically. There's a variability. I would say the mosquitoes are most concentrated in the areas that have the greatest urban density, and that seems to be more important than water source. I mean, like a water source like a fountain. So that the fountains would tend to be sort of maybe in the nicer homes and the more well-maintained homes in most cases. So I was thinking like Garden District or French Quarter, where you see a nice large yard with a fountain. We do have a program to address abandoned swimming pools and fountains, non-operational fountains. We use a lot of Gambusia fish in those. We make those available free to citizens. So if their neighbor has a fountain, some fish might make their way in there. We also have bacterial larvicides that last, like mosquito dunks. We have sort of an operational one that can last up to 180 days. So if we can locate those, we have a relatively good program for pools, at least, to some degree fountains. We can prevent mosquito breeding for a long period of time. So I would say that's less contributory than just garbage, trash, tires, that sort of thing. No. So the ones that she presented, the gravid traps, we use those targeting at least. So that's one thing that's really important that we're pushing out to other mosquito control districts, is they have to adapt the type of trap and the type of trapping that they do to really target this mosquito species, because everyone moved towards West Nile when that came, and really that's primarily most of the surveillance. We also use a CDC trap, CDC using dry ice that targets a broad range of mosquito species. I did not find it as effective. We did a trap comparison study last summer, and I found that the BG Sentinel trap was targeted the mosquito more effectively and had greater numbers. So we're primarily using that for AD surveillance. So yeah, we trap about 3 or 4 days a week, depending on the trap and where we're going. We also do a lot of work. We're getting a lot of green infrastructure projects, and we're doing some trapping around those efforts. So we are using CDCs for those. You get negligible amounts of Aedes in gravid traps, primarily when it's very dry and they're looking for any water. They wouldn't. So we use a hay and fish oil infusion, aged about a week in New Orleans temperatures, to target quinx, Calyx quinca fasciatus, a southern house mosquito, primary vector West Nile. Aedes really don't like that unless they really are desperate. So you'll get a couple occasionally, but really it's those lures, which octanol and this BG Sentinel lure, which kind of smells like stinky feet. So it smells a lot more like people, which they tend to like to feed on. And so they're much more apt to go to those traps. So really, and that's also, gravid traps are primarily for egg-laying mosquitoes, ones that have already taken a blood meal. These other ones are host-seeking mosquitoes, the CDC and the BG, and aspirations as well. Well, we were pretty, I was at the state at that time, but I could say we were pretty devastated. We were out by the lakefront. We lost all of our equipment and had to rebuild. We just moved into our new administration building in the last 2 years. And so we've rebuilt our program. The plane was inoperable for, well, until about 3 years ago. So it's still a progressive, we're rebuilding our shop now. We're still outside of the levee protection system, so we're still rebuilding. So budgetary-wise, though, we had a lot of support from other agencies, including CDC, immediately post-Katrina. And so we had the military support us in some applications. We did see increased West Nile during that time period, and we think it was primarily due to increase exposure. We still had a lot of people living in relatively in trailers and other buildings that had a lot of exposure. So we don't think there was more abundant transmission, but just people were heavily exposed. So it's still a rebuilding process, and we're hopefully rebuilding better than we were. It's also led to a sort of reexamination of our city codes and our approach with water and how we live with water, and so it's opening a lot of new discussions. But I would say that we're not as well funded as other districts around the state, especially those in more suburban areas with a larger tax base. And I hope that all of our revenue is from these new malls and things start to go into the city budget, and maybe we'll get some more that way. But we do actually a lot. We're mosquito, rodent, and termite control. And so we do a lot of work. We do grant-funded work. We do product testing. So we have other sources of revenue that we bring in to support our activities.
Thank you.